Should I say good evening?
Good evening. It's 10 to 8 here in the evening. You're in the afternoon there, of course.
Yes, Sunny Seaton crew.
Now I know you're lying.
It is. The sun's shining, honestly. It makes a refreshing change. just to catch up with you, what's going on with Metal Tiger at the moment? I've seen that there was some more warrants kick in, but you seem a bit quiet. I know you're in Bangkok at the moment.
Yeah, you've got to be careful. You see, when people think that when you're quiet, there's not a lot going on, but actually the opposite is true. When companies are quiet, companies like Metal Tiger that normally are very, very, very active in terms of the markets and media activities and announcements and so on, then things are happening within the business. And it's difficult sometimes as an investor. You look at the situation, you think, blimey, the news has maybe slowed down a little bit. Should I be worried? And the answer is absolutely not. We've been pushing ahead. As I've just said to you before you hit the record button, this has been one of the busiest spells I've had in Thailand. We've had the team out here, of course, the Metal Tiger team. We've been involved in various things, and we hope, of course, that some of this will be announced to market in the near future. Unfortunately, I can't be absolutely specific with you, and I hope that very soon we'll be able to talk about the stuff that we've been doing, and it will make absolute sense to people. But yeah, we've been very, 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 very active on the ground, and it's a great time for us at the moment.
I seen it the weekend on your Twitter account. You put out a Q&A for investors. I thought that was really good touch. That's in touch with your shareholders.
Yeah, well, we've seen a lot of questions being asked about very specific things on the Botswana project, and also to a certain extent on the Thai interests as well. But Botswana has been the focus, and that's symptomatic of an environment where the news from Botswana slowed a little bit. We were not too happy about that, because what we want to see from Botswana is a regular flow of news, and regular and frequent, which is what we've promised investors. In this type of project, as you have with Botswana, where it has scaled up incredibly quickly, you do get these teething issues and the slight slowdown in terms of the operational performance, the vast amount of information going into the labs, trying to sort out proper administration of the and core management, making sure that the labs are processing quickly and efficiently. There's been quite a few, as we've said publicly, quite a few retests of samples, because when the grades are of a certain nature and magnitude, the labs are very careful and make sure that they do go through the retest process and make sure everything is absolutely right. So dealing with all these things takes some time. And what we want to make sure is that as soon as possible, there's a proper and regular flow of news to market, and that the flow of news is consistent, and that people are receiving the same type of information as they were before, presented in the same way, but with regular top-up updates to confirm the latest assay news. Now, I don't want people to feel that in any way, shape or form, the recent slight slowdown in news in Botswana is a problem. This is still the same project as we had before. We're moving on and making progress. And we will feed the news out to market as soon as we can. Now, you probably noticed, Alex, the announcement today that we've agreed to appoint a chief technical officer within the business. Yeah. And that is very, very simple. We're now moving forward in all areas of our business, and we put the three key areas in the RNS. In Botswana, big copper silver project with tremendous upside potential, subject to the ongoing assays feeding back the same quality of results that we've had thus far. In Thailand, we're moving forward in the ways that we've announced to market in the past and making progress there. And in Spain, we're moving forward, and we're looking to add additional interest in Spain as well. So across these three areas and other things within our portfolio or our pipeline, there's lots of technical material that needs looking at. And as we've grown in size and the projects that we have grown in number and also in terms of complexity for each one, we now need to have a proper technical person to spend their time looking at all of our information, making sure all of our projects are moving forward in the right way, at the right pace, and really make sure that we capture the value for investors across all of our activities. We're pretty good at keeping a tremendous work rate up within the business, but now we need some serious help to increase the technical input to what we're doing, to make sure that everyone is really on the same message across our portfolio. We know exactly what's going on. We push people in the right way where it's necessary to push them. And we make sure that our shareholders' interests are protected by having in Metal Tiger the very best capable people with the time. That's the key thing, the time to look at everything in proper detail.
It's good, like you said, that's a good idea, actually, somebody to correlate the information to put it out to the markets or whatever. But because you guys, I know myself, when you're on the ground, you don't have time to keep looking back the way.
No, well, where we came from was a small investing company in natural resources. We split the company into two divisions, asset trading and metal projects. Asset trading is doing tremendously well, making really good returns for the business, and recent activities have shown us increase the number of stakes across the resource space on AIM, and that will continue. Our projects have got serious in recent weeks and months, depending on which one you're looking at. We're about to move into a very, very major growth phase for the business, and we need to have the right people. And you can scrimp and save all the way through, which is what we do, but eventually you need to say to yourself, we need to get the right people in to build our business. We did that in February when we appointed a CFO for the business, Chief Financial Officer. We appointed an institutional liaison manager. We appointed a company secretary. And all these people have added tremendous support, help and value within the business. And now, because our projects are moving to a different level, now we need somebody who understands the technical side of the metal projects division and who can sit on top of everything and make sure it all pushes forward as aggressively as we can make it. So that's the aim there. It's just an indication to people that this business is moving on. And for those people that say, well, you know, Metal Tiger's had a good run and are indicating that it might be the end of the road, I can tell you, we haven't even passed the first kind of service station on the motorway. We are at the start of a process, not the end of a process. So other people can stick their head in the sands and say, blimey, how have Metal Tiger got to this position and must have gone too far? And I'm telling you, on our roadmap, we haven't even started.
But like you say, the two sides of the division of the company now, and going back from early doors, and we've spoken about before, it's the transformational, really, what you've done. Just can I touch on Botswana? Obviously, you must be governed by Mod Resources. Do you know, for the gist of information?
Yeah, we are and we aren't. We're a 30% holder in the XDMI licenses. We are particularly keen to see a regular flow of news to market that's consistent and helpful and informative and reliable and so on. We're also quite, across our joint venture portfolio, we're also quite aggressive in terms of how we require our partners to behave and how we require them to report to market and behave as we would do, which is make sure the investor base understands what's going on. I've got to be a little bit sympathetic or empathetic with MOD Resources. We always knew these licenses were highly interesting, but the results that have come out from the early exploration work has been exceptional. And it has required a dramatic increase in activity on the ground that was very difficult to see in advance. So for those people getting impatient with MOD, we do understand and we are pushing as hard as we can. And the technical director within our business will help that process tremendously because we can help MOD as well, of course. Give them a little bit of time and space and let them push this thing forward. Let's sort out the slight interruption that there's been in terms of the flow of assay news, and let's see where this goes, because Botswana is a hugely positive project for us. It's been tremendous thus far, and we think there's a pretty good chance it will continue to deliver.
All right, just to spiral away from Metal Tiger at the moment, you had Gretlin Gold today. They had an announcement, the Brummus project, the key approval received. Can you comment on that?
I can, for obvious reasons, being a director of the business. We were...
Stop it.
Although I tell you what, there's plenty of people out there who know absolutely sweet you-know-what about these companies that vocalise their opinions. So you don't have to be a director to be a know-it-all. You only have to look on the Twitter. Back to the theme. We were delighted last week when we found out, very late last week, we found out about the Brummus situation. Brummus is quite interesting, to say the least. I would urge people to have a look on the Greatland Gold website on the Brummus project and to read the announcement today. And also in the bottom of the announcement today, we put a little note in to link back to a previous announcement on the Brummus project. This is a project that's been carefully studied at surface. And this is probably one of the, if not the key, projects within Greatland Gold. Let's say one of the key projects within Greatland Gold in terms of its prospectivity and potential. It's very, very, very exciting. The drill program that has been kind of announced today is a straightforward four-hole program straight into the heart of four targets for nickel sulfide mineralization. The style, nature, tenor of mineralization that's being sought is quite straightforward in the sense that if the drill confirms mineralization of a sufficient grade, then you move very, very quickly along the road towards having a decent mine prospect in front of you. The cost of doing the drill program is far more modest than people realize. So this isn't Greatland throwing a vast quantity of its cash at bank into the project. Quite the opposite. It's a very modest cost. But what this drill program should give us is an indication as to whether what's been found at surface, which is very, very exciting from a geological perspective, is actually proven at depth. And you don't really know until you get the drill rig down there and start to look at what comes up. So this actually, as a project, could be company transformational for Greatland Gold. And I know that company's been through a series of exploration work and drill program after drill program without too much in the way of exciting results. Well, things are different, folks. We're going to push ahead with drilling. We're going to do far more work than was done in the past. And we've got plenty of cash at bank at the moment to do that because the cost of these programs is much lower with the current market conditions and the lower cost of drill rigs and so on. So you're going to see a lot more work done by Greatland. And we're out to either prove or disprove. If a project turns out to have really good mineralization, then we'll carry on. And if it doesn't, we'll drop it. And that's the nature of the business. As long as we've got multiple projects running forward with exploration and we're very aggressive and we keep pushing that business forward, I am convinced we're going to find something that will change entirely the valuation of Greatland Gold. And this is a fabulous start. We are very, very, very excited by the prospects here at this particular project, at Brummus. It's taken a while to get all the local approvals, as these things sometimes do, but now we have them, we're going to crack on and get on with this thing and start this company rolling as a proper driven explorer for precious base and strategic metals in Western Australia, Tasmania, and potentially in other territories where we might be looking at the moment.
Well, on the 14th of May 2015, the company put out Greatland Gold. They were quoted as saying significant finds confirmed at Greatland Gold's Brummus project. And that's in today's RNS. That's the thing I picked up on in the RNS as well.
Yeah, and I can tell you how this works in terms of RNS. You have to be very careful what you say within them. And if you put out an RNS like that, you have very good information in the background to confirm that particular opinion. Otherwise, you cannot put it out. You have to be very, very modest in your RNS. And the team at Greatland are absolutely convinced that this is something we should look at. Will it work out? I don't know, to be honest. No one can tell. But if it does work out, with the nature of the mineralization that's being targeted, if we have a drill success on this, then it could be dramatically transformational for this company. And that's exactly where we need to be. Now, it might not, and we might have to be looking at the second project or the third project or whatever. But we are going to push this thing now. So if people are prepared to enter at this stage before the results are known and understand that there is exploration risk here, we pretty much got the financing risk under control. We've got the geopolitical risk under control. We've got the management risks under control. The operational risks are under control. The key thing at the moment is the exploration risk. But I promise you this, and this is for investors coming into Greatland Gold now and for those already owning shares. This business has changed. It's now driven. It's now aggressively going to be pursuing its projects of value and acquiring or seeking to acquire new projects of major potential value based on the prospectivity of the ground that's at the heart of the project. And we are not going to stop, and we'll keep pushing as hard as we can until we make and find something that transforms this company. We're at the time in the market when we can actually pick up drill contracts for very sensible money, so we should be exploring. We can pick up new projects for very sensible deals based on equity or, and sometimes a little bit of cash, so we should be acquisitive at the same time. But there is an enthusiasm now within the Greatland team. It's wonderful to see. Everybody is participating. Everybody is engaged. The management team have shares and options. If we make this work on a grand scale, we'll be a lot wealthier as a result. But as I always say to people with Metal Tiger, shareholders have to be wealthier too. And we're taking everybody with us. So this is not about big salaries. The majority of salaries within the Greatland Gold business for the next 12, or for since we took over the management, I shouldn't say took over, I'll get into trouble. Since we changed the management team around, since we changed the ethos and focus of the business, since we started the strategic review, from 12 months on from that point, the majority of salaries were paid as shares. So there is a real incentive and a drive within that company. I keep saying to people, Andrew Bell is a wonderful chap for the recovery phase. You should see what he's doing on Greatland. It's fabulous. Callum, who has been the brunt of a whole heap of different insults and criticisms and all the rest, and sometimes I can't argue against them, and I'd say that to him now to his face if he were here, but he has come alive. He's driving, he's moving forward, he's making progress. There's communications between the directors every day. Everyone's involved. Alex Borelli from Metal Tiger is with us as well. Fabulous person, tremendous advice, guidance and support. I'm just like a driven dog with a bone. This is a different business. It's wonderful. And it's the irony is it's been run by the same people who were running it before. It's just that this time they've got some more money and they've got people saying to them, yes, get on with it. Let's do this. Let's push ahead fast and as quickly as we can, as aggressively as we can. You can probably tell my enthusiasm.
I know. On Greatland Gold, obviously I know you guys have got to be careful what you say, but I was looking at that and I was thinking they may bring an asset on board. That's what my mindset was. But would that be a possibility maybe in the future? Are you allowed to answer that question?
I think it's highly likely, yeah. I think there's so many opportunities out there. We would be neglectful in our duty if we didn't do that. However, the important thing here is that the existing interest of that business, as demonstrated by Bromus today, do have tremendous potential. And the if you look at, I've got to be careful in terms of which projects I speak about, and Bromis I'm really kind of limited to because we've come out and said already that the strategic review supports that project. Well, it doesn't just support it, it says we have to go and get on with this, because it might be nothing. But if you look at the geochem work that's been done, if you look at the whole surface-based program that's been undertaken, details of which are on the website of Greatland Gold, then you see something very interesting emerging. And now we've got all the approvals to get on with things, we can actually go ahead and start to drill it out and find out what's there.
Just to pick up on the Red Rock Resources and Andrew Bell comment there, if we move on to where Goldstone Resources, GRL, the last RNS they put out, I think it was Red Rock and you guys, I think you owned about, I can't remember now off the top of my head, about 12% of the ordinary shares or something?
I can't quite remember the exact number, I haven't got it in front of me, but we own a fair proportion. We had about 3% before we acquired half the Unity position, so I guess around 12 or 13% of the company.
So what do you see happening with Goldstone Resources Limited? Because that's it's got a little bit quiet at the moment, unless I've missed something.
It's been quiet for months.
Yeah, 28th of April was the last RNS put out.
It's been quiet for months. It's been quiet for maybe a year or more.
Yeah.
And the amazing thing is that an organisation in our space that's driven, that's got enough management time, that's got enough management motivation, that's got a properly working board, that has its shareholders' best interests at heart, that in the last year or so, good Lord, it's been hard work, but blimey, you could progress these companies. Well, what's happened with Goldstone is it's stagnated. It's done very little. You know, and you read some of the announcements that have been made by the company, you would think they were on a kind of death knell, deathbed, desperation, nothing going. Well, this has been a time of opportunity. And I think to these boards and these people, shape up, get on with it and start working in shareholders' best interests. And the scenario that we've had with GRL has been more than bloody disappointing. It's been absolutely shambolic. This company needs to perform, and it needs to perform for its shareholders who have been long in the tooth and been holding by this business over a number of years through a terrible market cycle. And you see, this is what worries me about too many directorships. And you get this theme in the marketplace with too many positions being taken. It's really hard to run a limited number of companies very, very well. The amount of time and effort shareholders don't appreciate, and I didn't when I was not involved in companies, I didn't fully grasp this. The time to run a public company is immense, just to do the legal stuff and the accounting and audit stuff and the regulatory stuff is an incredible amount of time. Now, it helps if you have a really good, supportive set of advisors. That does make the difference. But ultimately, you've got to do an awful lot of work just to keep the company standing still. To then go out and push the company very hard and aggressively is it takes even more time. But I view this as a long-term career. I think we have an opportunity in our cyclical resource space to make a tremendous amount of money for shareholders over the next few years. And I think we can establish, if we work really hard, some projects that provide livelihoods for tens of thousands of local workers in these countries around the world. I think it's a great moral thing that we do. But I think it's such hard work that if you do it properly, you get burnt out after a few years. So you've got to make it work quickly. Now, in the case of Goldstone, what amazes me is that you only have to look at the map to work out what the focus should be. Hamarsi Akrakeri, the principal Goldstone project, which they've got 90% of, is sat geographically and geologically next to the Obuasi mine. And if you have a look at that mine, you'll realise that over the years it's produced 42 million ounces of gold. Now, just because you sat next to a massive, massive producer of gold doesn't mean that you will have exactly the same system in your territory, but it's a fair old indicator that you might. And what amazes me is that, particularly in recent times, there hasn't been more aggressive work done to get that particular project investigated, to start to look a bit more at depth as to what might be there, and just find out, a bit like Bromus with GGP, it could be a massive discovery. But unless you sink the drill holes and get on with some work, then you're never going to find out. So what Goldstone needs to do is get active. It needs to have a bit of drive on its board. It needs to have a bit of determination as a company. It needs to come out of the shadows, get on with things, and start investigating if, down the road at Obuasi, what they've found there and the potential there, which is, to say it's world class from a mining perspective, is a bit of an understatement when it's produced 42 million ounces. But get on with the job. And of course, this is what we want them to do. And this is why we've shown an interest and made an investment. We haven't done it because we think we can, you know, make the share price go up a couple of times, which has happened recently. We've done this because we think that if they find what might be there, which is potentially a very, very substantial gold mining opportunity, then the value of this business will go through the roof. And that's why we've invested. And that's why we're pushing very hard for some progress within this business, which shareholders damn well deserve, and we intend to see happen.
I'm glad I got that response, actually. you're perfectly correct, by the way, because you've got shareholders. They invest in these companies. So like you said, yourself and Red Rock have got in there, and they're just sitting there dormant. You know, anyway, I won't comment anymore on that one. Right, the next one, Paul.
Saying to people, Alex, these companies have got to stop saying to people how bloody awful the conditions are. This is a contrarian's marketplace. Stop whinging about how bad it is and get on and do some work. Go and find something, get some new projects, investigate what you've got, and go out and create the value. No one is looking. Look at Corellian at the moment. No one is actually looking at the map. It's amazing. It's like we're all in La La Land, because across the border from Corellian's project in Russia, huge diamond territory, Corellian are operating on the other side, which is, unless nature many, many squillions of years ago decided to respect the current day borders, which it bloody well didn't, nature means that there's a very strong likelihood that there are tremendous diamond opportunities in Finland, where Karelian have licenses, and it sits here today with a tiny, tiny market cap. And the only reason people are not buying in, I guess, for the most part, is because it hasn't gone up five times already, so it hasn't got the sexy feel-good factor. But if you want to make some money on the markets today as an investor, and I can rant a bit about Corellian because it's a personal investment rather than anything else, but if you want to make some money as an investor, you have got to be bored senseless. You've got to buy when nobody wants it and hold it and wait for that wonderful moment when everyone on the discussion boards are jumping up and down, swinging their arms in the air, pretending that they've won the lottery and feeling great about themselves, because they're the people, bless them, who are going to come and buy your stock off you at 10 times the price you paid for it, except you're going to be sat there in the corner, bored for the whole process while that happens, and then right at the end, you're going to get your money. And once you've got your money for selling something 10 times the value that you bought it for, like a boring old trog, you're going to move off to the next one where no one's talking about it and put it into there as well, and then wait for the herd to come trampling along round the corner. And the next time, that share goes up by three, four, five times. So, but that's the way it is. Anyway, I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. You're talking about KDR, the ticker KDR. What I love on social media is, it's like what you say there, the wise investors get into these shares, and then when they start, the momentum changes, then everybody's claiming they've found that share. They forget the people who are in early doors. It's funny, like.
Well, it amazes me, really. But that said, if you look at Corellian, they don't really help themselves to a certain extent. I've just sent an email off today to say, goodness me, your website, you have your project section says it's being, you know, it's under development. You've just done a financing.
Yeah.
And your project section is down. Get a grip. Get it up there. Get it operating and show people what you've got. And then there were a couple of other wobbles on the homepage with some of the information. I think sometimes companies need a bit of a slap, I'm afraid, because they don't help themselves. In the case of Corelli, and I just keep picking up stock now, I bought a chunk in the placing and I just keep buying on the market because for some bizarre reason, the market hasn't twigged. Then I think this could be one of the best opportunities we've seen in this particular space to make some decent money. But it's replicated all over the place. You know, Conroy Gold and Natural Resources, CGNR, where they've got up... People, maybe they've forgotten, but this is the company that a few years ago launched a conceptual study that demonstrated they had between 15 and 20 million ounces of gold spread across various targets and prospects over a 50-kilometer mineralized system in Ireland. Their main project, Clontibret, has a plus 1 million ounce resource. They only really publicised 600,000 because that's within the mineable resource within their studies for their Clontibret gold mine. But they've recently said they're looking to get around 5 million ounces from their Clontibret and their Clay Lake target project. So this is mega territory. This is just the kind of territory where the majors are looking at the moment. A safe jurisdiction, dramatic upside potential of the projects in terms of ounces, and that's a multi-million ounce targets are exactly what they're looking for. An environment where they can do business. I've been out to CGNR's project. I've been in the field. I've seen the farmers. They're really, really engaged, desperately trying to get them to push the business forward and to start building mines. You know, this is a great business, and it's valued at next to nothing on the markets. And today it's down at the moment 9% to 25 pence a share. Just nutty, but this is the way we are at the moment.
Just one question. Do the Metal Tiger team, do you guys, you know, with Terry the chairman, do you get round the table and look at stuff and think, right, this is what we're going to buy into? How does the process work?
We basically have board papers that go round. It's a bit difficult to get round the table when someone's in Perth, someone's in Africa, someone's here, and so we do get round the table. We just have done it, but generally speaking, day to day, these opportunities for financings and so on, they come along when they come along, and. I send board papers around to everybody, or somebody else might, depending on the circumstances. We examine them, we all form an opinion on them. Generally speaking, we make money, so there isn't too much of a problem with the suggestions that are put forward. There has to be a proper rationale behind each of them, in terms of, you know, the assets of the business, the trading potential, where it sits in the market, share price, where it's been, where it might go to. And we do a kind of miniature analysis. If anyone wants to blackball any investment, we will not do it. You get, as with all organizations, sometimes people are more in agreement than other times, but it doesn't really matter. Generally speaking, we haven't made any material mistakes in the scheme of things, but you don't get everything perfect, but we're pretty good. I can tell you, in the case of Ireland, for example, we've got two investments there on the markets at the moment, and we're looking at various projects. But on the for the Connemara and the Conroy Gold natural resources investment, there's a great love for Irish projects within our business. And particularly given the size of scale, Connemara is sat next to the Dalradian, or near the Dalradian projects in Ireland. Absolutely wonderful from a geological perspective. And Dalradian keeps coming out with fabulous news on their projects. So Connemara as well needs to be in people's mindset, although I'm not entirely sure what the directors were doing when they set the ticker for that business, which was CON. Although maybe they thought it was it was such a funky name that they get away with it. But it's not a con. It's the company and the people are capable and experienced. Not everybody likes John Teeling, But in fairness, there's quite a few people that don't like me at the moment. I presume because they're short and they're trying to get our share price down. But that's the way it goes with business. But he's a driven character, a very, very positive and enthused character who knows his business. So we're happy to support him in his work in that part of the world.
That's Paul Johnson, Metal Tiger, CEO. By the way, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today on LSE Share Talk from Bangkok. It's much appreciated.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. I can go and have some dinner now. And the thing is, I just want people to get a bit of research going now because this is a fabulous sector to be in. Don't be afraid of things at the moment. In our case, our Thai business in Metal Tiger, I look at the opportunities that we have at the moment. People get put off by this news and that news, and they don't fully understand what's going on within the country and exactly how things are working out. So they miss the most tremendous opportunities. And we're building our Thai business very aggressively across a number of areas at the time when nobody else is looking. And very soon, when things start to in people's minds stabilize and they start to look at the geology rather than the geopolitic all the time, they'll see at one company with a diverse range of interests that's been built at low cost at the best possible time, which is now. And we will be a hugely attractive business in Thailand. So just do some research. Don't read all the nonsense that you get on the discussion board. Start to do a bit of your own digging around, and you'll find some tremendous opportunities across our marketplace to make a lot of money over the next few years. It's a tough thing to do to enter into the sector right now. But I'm absolutely convinced, and I put my own money behind it, that this is the very best time to do it.
Absolute pleasure, Paul. You're a gentleman.
Thanks very much. Speak to you soon.